Good afternoon. We'll call the Senate Resource Committee meeting to order. Let the record reflect it's approximately 3:31 p.m. on this Monday, March 21, 2011. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. Beginning to the far right, Senator French, Senator Wilikowski, co-chair Senator Wagner, to my left, Senator Stevens, Senator Stedman, and myself, Senator Pascven. We have three items on today's agenda, and the legislation will be heard in this order. The first thing we will hear is a committee substitute for Senate Bill 42, and this relates to power projects and the Alaska Energy Authority. The second is Senate Bill 13, which is a bill waiving the park fee for disabled veterans. And then the third will be the House Joint Resolution number 9 endorsing ANWR leasing. After the first part of it, the Senate Bill 42, then co-chair Senator Wagner will have the gavel for the remaining two items. But first, again, the committee will address a committee substitute for Senate Bill 42, which is version D relating to power projects. And it is my intent to move this legislation today. And this bill has been before this committee on February 9th, 11th, 16th, 21st, and 23rd. We've heard from the bill sponsor and the utilities, and we've considered public testimony. On February 23rd, the committee entertained a motion to put the committee substitute, which is backslash D, before this committee. And then I had my staff walk through the changes to the original bill. The CS is before this committee right now, and I'd like to quickly summarize the change from the original bill to the backslash D version. First, the title is the bill is changed to conform with the changes in the body of the legislation. Second, the original version of the Senate bill sought to modify the state's procurement code. This CS deletes that language so that there are no statutory changes relating to AEA and procurement. Third, the CS makes changes to the Alaska Rail Belt Energy Fund, preserving the legislature's authority to appropriate. Fourth and most significant, the CS makes changes relating to the creation of subsidiaries, and this is found at page 6 of the CS in the new title, section 13, caption approval for a subsidiary, so that the subsidiary created by this legislation are specific to the Watana Hydroelectric Power Project on the Susitna River. Lastly, the fiscal note for Senate Bill 42 is not impacted by any of these changes and will remain the same. These changes were considered after going through the committee process and incorporating language advanced by Mr. Brian Bjorkquist of the Department of Law, and I do thank the committee members and the bill sponsor for working together on this legislation. We are joined by Senator McGuire with that. Anyway, given that we do have the CS for Senate Bill 42 before us, is there any additional committee discussion? Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment when you're ready for amendments.
I believe the committee has received copies of Amendment D-11. I'll object for purposes of discussion.
I can how about if I move the amendment?
Please do so.
Okay. I'll move amendment number one.
And I would object for purposes of discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number one, I've got a lot of concerns with the bill as we move on and how we interrelate with our other utilities and other areas around the state. But clearly there's an intent here to move forward with Watana, which I support. Amendment number one would remove the split of AEA from ADA, I'll just dispense with reading the pages and line numbers, because at the end of my little list, there's only about one section left in the bill. It would also remove the authorization of AEA to create subsidiaries, again, except for the issue of moving forward with Watana. It would create a new Alaska Rail Belt Energy Fund and authorize its capitalization. And it would remove conditional effects and notification language. So the bill would then would change its focus on planning and funding for a large-scale rail-built hydroelectric project, and it would allow the project to move forward and the legislature to work with the administration to address secondary issues in the future. I believe, Mr. Chairman, that this is the best approach. We're moving Watonna forward, so we're focused on the large hydroelectric project for the rail belt, and we don't get derailed into litany of other issues around the state dealing with other smaller utilities and impacts on other communities. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and remove my remove amendment number one.
Thank you. We do not
withdraw amendment number one.
We then do not have amendment number one before us. We do have the CS for Senate Bill 42 version D before us. I'm satisfied, Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to put on the record I had been working on an amendment regarding Section 2, and it would Section 2. Adds a provision that the executive director and other staff of the Alaska Energy Authority are exempt, and I had been working on an amendment on that. I have some concerns over that provision. I don't know that it's necessary to have administrative clerks, for instance, be in the exempt status, but I've decided not to offer the amendment, and I may at some point speak with the co-chair of finance or other members of the finance committee about having a discussion about whether that's appropriate or not, or reserving my right to have an amendment on that on the floor. So I just want to put that on the record, Mr. Chair. Thanks.
Any further comments by the committee? Seeing none, I am satisfied with the work that this committee has put forth on this bill. And Senator Wagner, I would entertain a motion that we, with respect to moving the CS for Senate Bill 42.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we forward Senate Bill number 42 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
And a brief at ease. Record.
Yeah, let me amend my motion. I would move that we forward committee substitute for Senate Bill 42 with individual recommendations.
Any objections? Seeing none, it is so moved. We'll take a brief at ease for purposes of signing. With that, the gavel transfers to Coach.
call Senate Resources back to order. At this time, I'd like to recognize Senator Thomas and Senator Geisler are with us in the audience. This time, we'll have Senate Bill 13 in front of us. You want to move the bill and get it in front of us, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I would move that we bring Senate Bill 13 version backslash A before this committee.
I'll object for purpose of having a presentation. You want to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Present or you
wanna... I've got. I will begin, and then when things get heavy, I'll turn to my staff.
I'll turn the mic over to Senator French at this time. Then. Thank you, Senator French.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. Just for the record, my name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate. With me is Andy Motoro, the staffer in my office assigned to this bill. This is the bill's first hearing. If you, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'll read into the record the sponsor statement that we prepared for this. Senate Bill 13, which waives the park fee for disabled veterans. Alaska's veterans served our country with pride. This legislation shows a small token of our appreciation by providing disabled veterans in our state with free access to state park facilities. Our parks provide all Alaskans with the opportunity to explore and recreate in Alaska's wild places. To provide these opportunities to those with disabilities, many park facilities are compliant with ADA standards. Six cabins have been modified to include features like wheelchair ramps, two boat launches, 14 campgrounds, 10 historic sites, and dozens of day use locations provide handicap access or handicap accessible facilities. Regardless of disabilities, the system is truly open to all Alaskans. In 1991, Alaska passed a law which created a special disabled veteran camping permit, providing disabled veterans with free camping in state park campgrounds. Senate Bill 13 extends this free benefit to public use cabins, boat ramps, RV facilities, and day parking. Please join me and support this piece of legislation. Just a couple of other points, Mr. Chairman. The bill is probably easiest to understand if you go from back to front. By turning to page 3, section 4, you kind of see what the meat of the bill is, and the meat of the bill is this exception, subsection F to Alaska Statute 4121026, that says the department, meaning the Department of Natural Resources, or the parks, may not charge or collect a fee under A1, A6, 7, and 8, A11 or 12 of this section from a resident who is a disabled veteran. If you turn then back to section 1, you can see that we're adding number 1, which is rental of public use cabins or overnight lodgings to those aspects of state parks that would be free. Number 6, you can dump your sewage holding tank from your RV. Admission to or guided tours of visitor centers and historic sites would be free. That's number 7. Use of improved boat ramp in a park facility developed principally for boat launching would also be free. And then use of a developed facility that has developed parking and restrooms. If you haven't noticed, Mr. Chairman, in your last visit to the state parks, they're kind of in the position of nickel and diming you every time you turn around. And so it just seems like if we want to encourage folks to get outside, to enjoy the wilderness, to enjoy what Alaska has to offer, it strikes me that disabled veterans should not be the group that this financial burden falls upon. And so that's the basic idea of the bill. I guess I'd just point out that it's not just folks who are in wheelchairs and on crutches that are disabled. You can be disabled through a traumatic brain injury, through post-traumatic stress disorder. There's lots of different ways you can be disabled. Still want to enjoy the great outdoors, and having to pay for a cabin or whatnot is money that could be better spent on other goods and services. Last year, under the current exemption, 1,600 parking passes were issued to disabled veterans. I would estimate that same number of folks would be using cabins and so forth. They wouldn't get priority use for the cabins. You'd still have to, put your name down and so forth. But the basic idea is just to encourage more use of the parks by our veterans. There is a definition of what a veteran is, a definition of a disabled veteran, and so I think I'll be happy to answer questions or my staff.
Thank you, Senator French. Just for the committee's reference, Mr. Ben Ellis, the Division of Parks and Recreation, and Carolyn Herrera are both online for answering questions if the committee has any questions. With that, I'll go to the public. Is there any public comment? Anybody here from the public wish to comment on this bill at this time?
Yes, my name is Chris Cook, and I would like to speak in support, Mr. Chairman, of Senate Bill 13.
Would you give us your full name, please, and your residence?
My full name is Sharla, S-H-A-R-L-A, middle initial J, Cook, C-O-O-K. I've been known by Chris for 30 years, and so people call me Chris. It's K-R-I-S. My address is 6900 Pine Cone Circle, Anchorage, Alaska, 99516.
Thank you. Was that the total of your testimony?
No, sir. I have a little bit more to add.
Okay, go ahead.
Alaska is known as a very veteran-friendly state, I'm a veteran, and it's certainly proven so to me. I also know that, and I'm a disabled veteran, and disabled veterans generally earn less than they would have before they were disabled. The certification is already done for the state by the Department of Veterans Affairs. There's a regional office in Anchorage, and veterans who are not close to Anchorage can get certification through the Veterans Affairs central offices just by phone call and then a letter. Those letters certify that the person is a veteran, that they have a service-connected disability. It provides a specific rating for that disability and specifies whether the disability is a permanent disability or a temporary disability. So that's a pretty rigorous process that veterans go through in order to gain a disability rating, not gain, but when they get a disability rating. And the rigor that process goes through, I think, is done by the federal government and would relieve the state of having to try to do that. Typically where you go through now to get to pay your fees for cabin rental or boat launching or for parking in developed spaces, to get one of those stickers for your car, for example, for the parking in the developed spaces, you pay a fee. If a veteran simply brought in a letter, certified by the Department of Veterans Affairs, it's an official letterhead letter, and the state accepted that instead of payment. It would help veterans, disabled veterans in particular, utilize our wilderness and park facilities in ways that they probably may not be able to afford because, as I pointed out, disabled veterans tend to earn less than they would have before they were disabled. And that's the end of my testimony, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony, Chris. Public testimony is open. Is there anybody else here in the room or anybody else online that wishes to testify? Seeing none, I'll close public testimony at this time. And set aside the bill. Is there any discussion by the committee? Senator Pasquin.
I was wondering if anyone from the DNR was here to explain the fiscal note.
Ben, can you go through the fiscal note?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chairman. My name, for the record, is Ben Ellis, the director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation within the Department of Natural Resources. I might say we encourage the use of and enjoyment of our parks and facilities by all Alaskans, and especially our disabled veterans. You know, we support the idea of recognizing the service and sacrifice made by our disabled veterans and emphasize that any concern that we may have is largely of a fiscal nature. You know, anytime we grant fee exemptions, it's pretty much a double-edged sword in that we decrease revenue while encouraging greater use, and this bill would be no exception. As mentioned before, we currently provide an exemption to disabled veterans for paying fees for overnight camping at state park facilities. The individual must come in to a Fairbanks or Anchorage DNR Public Information Center in person and provide either their red, white, and blue disabled veteran identification card are the letter that Ms. Cook was referring to, that Veterans Administration confirming their status. Although the statute provides for an annual pass for disabled veterans, the current practice is to issue a pass that's valid for two consecutive years. For 2009 and 2010, we did issue 1,616 camping passes, and they have a combined value of approximately $323,200. It would be relatively straightforward, looking at the bill for the division, to implement a fee exemption to disabled veterans for day use and boat launch fees. There are annual passes available to the general public, as has been mentioned, for both of these uses. A receipt code could be set up so the pass could be provided free of charge to disabled veterans. Without knowing exactly how many would apply, but I'm assuming if it is available, obviously I think we would have, right now we don't know how many apply and are disabled veterans. Our best anticipation is that we would have somewhere between 80,000 and $160,000 dollars that would represent the potential lost revenue from that access. The more difficult area to implement is the fee exemption for disabled veterans on public use cabin reservation. About 98% of the public use cabin reservations are made via the state online system. You know, if a disabled veteran were required to make their cabin reservations in person, either in Anchorage or Fairbanks, it would be put at a disadvantage in comparison to the general public. For the most popular cabins, they are generally reserved exactly 7 months in advance. For state residents, you have 7 months, and if you're out of state, you can reserve them 6 months in advance. There is a way to deal with that, to allow disabled veterans the same access to the public use cabins as the general public. We would need to create a modification to the online system. Such a modification would approximately cost about $10,000 to contract out for design. The disabled veteran would be issued a personal identification number so they could use that online and not be able to be charged. You know, it's difficult to determine how much the disabled veterans would avail themselves to this program. What we did was try to use the fees from our 2010 total and give a low, medium, and high. 10% of that total would be about $30,700 in revenue that wouldn't be captured. Middle 20% would be about a little over 61,000, and if we had 30% of what we had in 2010, that'd be about 92,000. This is a program. Our public use cabins are not 100% full, but some of them are, and most of them are more than 90% occupancy rate. There are some considerations regarding providing an exemption for public use cabin fees. Currently, when someone cancels a public use cabin reservation, they're issued a credit, which they can use for future reservations, and that allows somebody else to take the use of the cabin. Under this exemption, there would be no incentive to cancel, and therefore could possibly tie up a cabin when it wasn't being used, and again resulting in lost revenue. Due to the remote location of some of the areas, there would be a lack of enforcement, and it would be difficult for us to ensure that the disabled veteran whose exemption was being used was actually present in the group that was staying at the cabin. And as I mentioned, we have 73 public use cabins. They're extremely popular. In 2010, they were used 7,452 nights, and it generated $307,335 in revenue. The when we look at the fiscal note of what might be the case, there's approximately 29 positions that are either fully funded or partially funded within parks using the general fund program receipts, which this money would be of. And all of those positions are involved in either directly with enforcement or management of the parks. They include the park ranger, the park specialist, natural resource technicians, people like that. If this program receipts would not be replaced by general funds, it would have the potential to have a large hit to these positions. An example, this bill could result in the loss of three or more equivalent positions of whether it be a ranger or some of the other areas. Thank you for the opportunity to let us express our look at the fiscal note. And as the chair said, Carlin Herrera, the chief of our administrative services in the division, is with us, and we would be happy to either clarify or answer any questions you have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Senator Witkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does how would your system deal with people from out of state who wanted to apply for a camping permit or a cabin permit who were disabled veterans?
We were focused on Alaskans using this, but again, it would be within the public use. I think that would become a little bit more difficult. The non-resident currently can reserve the cabins 6 months in advance, so we would have to look at a system that if we stayed with the same program, that if you're a non-resident disabled veteran, then you would be able to apply and have the code and so forth 6 months, available 6 months in advance. We would have to figure out some way to deal with them not coming in person. That'd be the thing that we would have to figure out.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions? Mr. Stedman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just kind of curious while we got the fellow online. How many state cabins do we have in Southeast? Or I'm having trouble finding them.
I have to get back, Mr. Chairman, or through the chair, Senator Stedman. I have to get back to you on that. I don't have that at my fingertips.
And how about campgrounds, Mr. Chairman? Do we have any campgrounds in Southeast?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid I'm going to have to play the new director card, but sir, I will get back those numbers to you.
You would put those numbers down and send them to me. I'll distribute them.
Mr.
Senator Stebbins.
I think the point is we don't have any boat launches per se. I think we do have boat launches that the state has made and constructed that we work with the communities on, but we don't have cabins, campgrounds, day use picnic sites, fishing access, drinking water, and then we do have there's a couple of picnic shelters and a few things, but anyway, just a point. But I think that one of the concerns that are brought up, Mr. Chairman, as far as how do you deal with people that are possibly securing reservations and not paying them, and we could work on that that issue. And one possible way of dealing with that, instead of 100% exemption, is give them a substantial partial exemption if it's 50% off or some other number off. So that might help alleviate some of this. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just while we're on that point that Senator Stedman raised, and we have in my backup, my staff thinks of everything they could possibly think of, and one of the things we have is a list of the state park fees currently charged. And in Southeast, there are the following state parks and state recreational sites: Chilcat State Park, Chilcoot Lake, Eagle Beach, Mosquito Lake, Portage Cove, and Settlers Cove are all state recreation sites. As far as cabins go, there are cabins at Point Bridget. There's three of them. There's cabins at St. James / Oliver Inlet. There's cabins at Tiger Olson and Taku Harbor, at Rupee Edwards on Shelter Island, and at Grindle Island. So I appreciate the Senator's inquiry and the opportunity to supplement the record.
Any further discussion in the committee? Senator French?
Just to point out one thing from today's newspaper, which is that the TRICARE, which is veterans' health care insurance program, it's a story in today's newspaper, is asking for a fee increase, just pointing to the increased financial pressure on our veterans. That's point one. Number two is from the calculations we ran, and the director may want to testify about this this or a future hearing, we think that almost 10% of the park revenue in the state is currently generated today from disabled veterans. And I think that's just, I think it's interesting. It speaks to the use of the parks from our veterans, but I also think that maybe we could find a different place to put the burden of operating our parks. Thank you.
Any further discussion at this time? With that, I'm going to hold the bill for next meeting of opportunity. In other words, I don't know when it will be, but we'll get.
I understand, Mr. Chairman.
I don't think it's going to take long to pass it on the next. Is there another committee?
Goes to Senator Stedman's committee.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get it up to him pretty quick.
We can work on some of his creative ideas. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator French. It's a well-intentioned addition, I think. And if you saw on your list, we do have a lot of
There's
parks
quite a few. I'd still be reading the ones down there on the Kenai, Mr. Chairman.
Next item before the committee is HJR 9. I'd like to take a motion from the co-chair to adopt the bill.
Yes, I move that we bring the CS for House Joint Resolution number 9 version /I before this committee.
Thank you. At this time, Representative Pruitt, would you like to present the bill, or are you going to have your staff?
Duo.
Yes. We don't pick on House members here, so. Please introduce yourself and present your bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Pruitt, I represent District 21, which is on the Tudor Muldoon area of East Anchorage. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I thank Chairman Wagner as well as members of the committee. I'm here to present HJR 9, which endorses Anwar Leasing and Development. I know you have a busy schedule, so I'll try to be very brief. House Joint Resolution 9 urges United States Congress to pass legislation to open the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and gas exploration and development. The Alaskan National Interest Lands Conservation Act of 1980 prohibited leasing or other development leading to production of oil and gas from the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Today, domestic demand for oil continues to rise while domestic crude production continues to fall, with the result that the United States imports additional oil from foreign sources. New technology has greatly reduced the environmental impact of development on the North Slope. If Prudhoe were built today, the footprint would be as small as 1,526 acres, which is just hard to believe. But oil and gas development has also proven it can successfully coexist in Alaska's Arctic. The Central Arctic Caribou Herd at Prudhoe Bay has grown from 3,000 to as high as 23,400 in the last 20 years alone. HJR, actually 9, mirrors previous legislative resolutions and includes provisions for renewable and alternative energy sources, protection of wildlife, and the use of directional drilling. I encourage you to join these past legislative efforts in sending this unified resolution to Congress. And if it would please the chair, my staffer, Dirk Kraft, will go over the changes from version A to version I.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Dirk Kraft, staff representative Pruitt. And I would just go over some of the changes we've made to this resolution since we introduced it. Working off of version I, the following language was added to the title paragraph on page 1, line 1. relating to oil and gas exploration, development, production, and royalties, and relating to renewable and alternative energy technologies. This change was made to better reflect all the language included in the entire resolution. We removed any from page 3, line 22, because it sounded redundant in its usage. And we added "and alternative" to page 3, line 23 through 24, and page 4, line 5 through 6. Alternative adds additional sources of energy generation that renewable alone does not. The Alaska State Legislature urges that oil and gas exploration, development, and production was added to page 3, line 28, and that was added for clarification. And the nations was added to page 2, line 6, to emphasize national security. And we also have Adrian Herrera from Arctic Power online, I believe, if you have any technical questions relating to ANWR in D.C.
Thank you. Any questions by the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator French.
I'm not sure if this is directed to the sponsor or to members of the committee, but didn't we pass a resolution recently out of the Senate urging Congress to open ANWR? Is this different somehow than one we already passed?
Mr. Chair, Dirk Kraft, staff representative Pruitt, that resolution was specifically dealing with wilderness designation in the 1002 right. area.
Yep. Thank you. Okay, good correction. Appreciate that. Second question on page 2. Line 18, your resolution says that Prudhoe Bay production is declining. I agree with you, but having worked at Kuparuk and aware of the developments at Alpine and other places, are we concerned only about the Prudhoe Bay production, or would a friendly amendment to change that to North Slope maybe capture more of the idea that you're aiming to communicate?
Representative Pruitt, I would accept that friendly amendment, that we are trying to express the decline on the North Slope.
I'll leave it to the drafters to figure out exactly how to say that, but I think just substituting North Slope for Prudhoe Bay would get the point across. Thank you. I'll move that amendment. Amendment number one conceptually is to replace the words Prudhoe Bay with North Slope on page 2, line 18.
Is there an objection to the amendment? Not. Additional discussion? Pleasure of the body.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we pass or move the CS for House Joint Resolution number 9 as amended by number 1 by Senator French from this committee.
Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, congratulations, Mr. Pruitt. You made it through the initiation phase. The that finishes the business we had in front of us today. Next meeting will be on Wednesday. That time we'll take up the confirmation of the Commissioner of Fish and Game and Natural Resources. Thank you all for coming.